B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Rams.
A chipmunk.
Oh, not bad. Now the Bears.
Oh,
that's lame.
Yeah. You guys were all in the animal world, though. Good job.
Well, I mean, what? Seriously. Should that be hard? You know? Yeah, an animal. It's not an insect, I guess.
Well, the Owls will take down the Bears Saturday.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. So you are listening to 97.5, the Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. An unfortunate scenario took place last night in the 76ers game, and that is Ben Simmons going down 10 minutes into the game. 10 minutes he played in the game. Went down hard on the offenses, or excuse me, the defensive side of the court. They marched down the other end, and he drops his shoulder to try to drive down to the block and grabs his shoulder in pain. Leaves the game, shoulder soreness. Serena Winters reports on the broadcast he will not return. This was early in the second quarter. And then later in the broadcast, it comes out that he has a minor strain, of the right shoulder AC joint.
Yep.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't return to the game.
Nope.
10 minutes he plays. Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, Raul Neto play the point guard position for this team. And then you see an underwhelming performance from Joel Embiid towards the end. I see immediately on Twitter thoracic outlet syndrome jokes. And then I also see people questioning Brett Brown and why they're seeing Raul Neto play for 30 minutes in this game. Well, it's because you don't want to see Josh Richardson play point guard for 30 minutes. Now, I don't have anything against Josh Richardson, but you have your point guard go down. You're going to try to get a little creative there. So you have Josh Richardson and Raul Neto, for the most part, take the ball up after Ben Simmons left the game with his shoulder injury. Sixers go on to lose a very tough game to the Utah Jazz, only by 2 points. So anybody that bet the game, Sixers were getting two. Sorry, it was a push for you last night.
Yeah, that one right there, yeah. So I went, so the over was 210.5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, 210.5, and it was 106, 104?
Yeah, they hit the line on the over-under and the point spread. That's
rough
unbelievable.
Game. Rough game. Yeah. Rough game.
I mean, all I needed was Joel to go ahead and make that extra free throw.
Yeah. So the things that I saw was Ben Simmons was all of a sudden soft. I saw
That's good stuff.
Yeah, here's what I'll never say about any Australian person ever. Soft. Never going to say that. They're all like hockey players, except there's no hockey.
Yeah,
there.
It's just, you know, rugby and Aussie rules.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not going to call it an Aussie soft, but nonetheless, people are going with the soft route on him.
Interesting.
It's a bold strategy. Yeah. And then you have guys calling out Joel Embiid for being a little lackadaisical towards the end of that game. I call him out for, look, he's going to be out of shape after 2 weeks, or excuse me, missing two games. Like, that's ridiculous to me, but that seems to be JoJo's M.O., throughout his career.
He didn't do cardio at any point in this?
Evidently not.
Didn't prepare, like, you know what, I'm going to be coming back in Utah, that maybe I need to put on one of those masks and get on an elliptical or something to kind of get my lungs ready for playing in high altitude?
Uh-huh. Evidently not.
No, okay.
Now, hold on a second. Is it true that, I heard this after the game, is it true that the Salt Lake City air, they're a little salty?
Oh, I never noticed. I did a little salty, a little sodium.
When
I went there, I did a lot of trail hiking kind of type of things.
Really?
Yeah, they have really nice trails right by the Capitol. You can go behind the Capitol and do a lot of things. I never noticed salt the way I did the other day.
That's right, in the Salt Cave.
In our Salt Cave.
Feeling great.
See that? Well, it's a magical place, Jamie.
It really is. And for us friends that all went together, it was a magical time.
I might have screwed up because I've been feeling like ass for a week now.
That's the Lord getting me.
Yeah, so I can use a little salt.
By the way, I heard you yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour just be like, I'll just buy Marcus Oprah and he'll be fine. Like, you can't buy me. You can't buy me. You hurt my heart. I heard you also say that people hurt your sports heart. But anyway, that's about Ben Simmons and shooting from the outside.
Well, I did say, entering the season, I said, you have to give him a month before everybody starts freaking out about a lack of jump shot.
Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks. And we're quickly approaching that month.
Well, in all honesty, with the way he's played in the first 7 games of the season, you haven't seen that outside shot at all.
No.
Yeah, so no, I can freak out. But here's the thing people were freaking out about the game last night. One, Ben Simmons is soft. Thoracic outlet syndrome. People were like making those jokes about it.
Oh,
then people
were
firing Brett Brown for seeing too much Raul Neto and not seeing Trey Burke. And then people are also looking at Joel Embiid for not being in shape enough to the point where he can finish a game like you wanted to see him finish last night. And the thing that I'll call out Joel Embiid for was just a bonehead play. It's basketball 101, and Yeah, maybe it is laziness. Maybe it's being tired at the end of the game. But you had about 90 seconds left in the game, 123 to be exact. He gets the ball in the paint, pump fakes on Rudy Gobert, who had five fouls at that point. And then instead of going hard to the basket, which would have been one step for him, and maybe getting fouled and going to the line, getting an N1, which would have made it a two-point game, he fades away from Rudy Gobert and misses the shot.
Mm.
Rudy Gobert could have been gone for the last 90 seconds of that game, and you could have been taken full advantage of that, made it a two-point game with 90 seconds to go. Instead, they get the ball back, Utah does. They take it to the other end of the court, miss their shot. You go back down, and then JoJo gets him to foul out with about 40 seconds left. It was just dumb basketball last night.
And I said it before, it's what drives me crazy with this team. Their basketball IQ just isn't there a lot of times. It's little things. It's laziness. It's not being where you're supposed to be in obvious situations. It's being aware of the shot clock. It's realizing that you've just used JoJo down low on five of your last six possessions successfully and jacking up a three with 20 seconds to go in the shot clock. The mindset just isn't there at times, and that's one of the most aggravating things with this team for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And when you see it go like that, and it's funny, after the game, Brett Brown referred to guys like Joel Embiid and guys like Ben Simmons as veterans. And I know people aren't thinking of them yet as veterans, but I said before the season, the number one thing I'm looking forward to about this Sixers team is to hell with the kid stuff. The hell with the dumb stuff. These guys need to grow up. They need to take that step forward. Joel Embiid needs to do that. Ben Simmons needs to do that. He was hurt last night, soft, whatever you want to call it, fine. But he came out last night, and he has been able to take control in games. Not as much as you'd like to see, but you at least seen some initiative from him. You didn't see that last night. You didn't see a guy that was aggressive. Two shots in 10 minutes. Like, even like the finding his teammates in certain possessions, it wasn't there for him. A guy like James Ennis tries to bring the ball up, for instance. Ben Simmons wasn't even looking to the ball. Like, if he doesn't have the ball in his hands to try to facilitate, he tends to disappear a little bit.
Yeah.
And last night, you didn't really see that.
And this is one of those games where it's like, all right, you're going up against the co-rookie of the year. There was a lot of anticipation of, okay, you against Mitchell. Let's see what's going to happen. And, no.
Yeah, I feel like that's something.
Fizzled out.
I feel like that's a reach for some people, because I know that was said going into the game, but some, like, I don't. Does Don is Mc, geez, I almost said McNabb. Does Ben Simmons think about Donovan Mitchell anymore? Being that he won the Rookie of the Year award,
you might not. But here's the way I look at it. It's not a bad thing to do, because over 82 games, and Trey played 16 games a season, a lot of times more because of playoffs. You need to find that self motivation.
You got to find something to give you a spark.
Exactly, and we're talking 16 games. These guys are out there 82. They're out there four times a week playing. It's hard. Mm-hmm. You would think, oh, stadium, I get paid all this money, you should be ready to go. But no, it's hard sometimes. So you need that self-motivation. So, yeah, I don't mind if he is thinking of it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's as little as that, like, all right, here we go. Tonight's a little bit more special. So be it. How about it?
That little extra edge going
into
the
game. Yeah, sure.
Whatever you got to find.
Yeah, why not?
All right, so the play with Joel Embiid towards the end of the game just left me scratching my head, because I didn't know if the guy was just tired, if he was being lazy, or if it was just another immature play by a guy that a lot of people still think of as young and inexperienced. But to me, Joel Embiid's at the point of his career where he needs to know what play to make in that situation. And the play to make in that situation was to drive on Rudy Gobert, get him out of the game, get the N1, hopefully, sink the shot. Next thing you know, you're down 2 points with 90 seconds to go. Like, that would have been the smart heads-up play to make. Instead, that wasn't the case. You also saw bad turnovers from Josh Richardson, Raul Neto trying to force passes that weren't there. But after just bonehead plays, what drove me crazy last night wasn't that Trey Burke didn't play by any means. It was that Utah did what Utah does and has been doing for 30 years, 40 years, whatever you want. The pick and roll. They ate the Sixers for dinner.
What are you, Pete Carroll?
Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
The pick and roll just dominated him.
Yeah.
Absolutely dominated him last night. And there was no stopping it. And there was, I saw guys trying to switch at certain points.
It's basketball's most basic play.
Like, you know what's funny? Like, one of the most impressive things about Vince Lombardi, all right? You know he won a state championship in New York for coaching basketball?
I did not know.
Wow. You know what play he used the most?
Pick and roll.
Pick and roll. Vince Lombardi knew nothing about basketball, read one book, and said pick and roll. He's like, I'm going to do that.
That works.
And he won like a high school state championship coaching basketball.
Did you read about that at the Vince Lombardi rest stop outside New York City in upstate New York or Jersey?
No, I think it was on the 30 for 30 or whatever it was.
What was that, Gene?
I don't know. Right. New Jersey people are the ones concerned with exit numbers.
But like, it's like something as simple as that, as basic as that, killed the Sixers last night. And it's going into Utah, where it might as well be telegraphed all over the place.
And Mike Conley might be like one of the best pick and roll point guards.
Yeah, he's pretty good at that.
In the NBA.
Yeah, he's pretty good at
it,
that.
It really is something, and if you execute it well, it can work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can. You can have something good happen all the time if you execute. And it's funny you bring up Vince Lombardi, because one of the most famous footages of him is seal here. He ran six plays, but he made sure he ran them all perfectly correct.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a pick and roll. It's a pain in the ass to defend. And if you run it correctly, like they do, these are the things that happen. You win muddy games like that.
Then after all that, you look at a guy like Tobias Harris. When Ben Simmons leaves a game, you got to have more from a guy who's supposed to be one of your leading scorers anyway. 16 points last night. He was one of your leading scorers last night. But you like to see him step up and really hit some of those outside shots they weren't able to knock down. And by the way, a little Jerky Furky from Turkey, he might be that bomber. I mean, he's not putting up like 8 threes a game or anything like that, but he's starting to get some consistency to his game.
Bomber.
Yeah.
I'm not minding Furky.
Yeah, I think you can use him for 15, 20 minutes a night.
25 might be a little excessive.
Yeah, might be.
But yeah. Last night, you had to shuffle the deck a bunch.
Other end of the floor, you know, where you have to defend?
Yes, a little bit.
He's not that great at that.
He's not that great.
No. I see guys, they get that ball.
Yeah.
And they dribble, and he's here, and then they go to the basket. And
he's just filling in the new role of J.J. Redick. That's all.
He's not there to
order any,
to give any resistance.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of just like, oh, where'd you go? Oh.
Go figure.
Hope you miss.
We got Howard. We got Vinny. We had open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Sam Wilson, what are we asking the good people on our Twitter poll today?
Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, what is your grade of Carson Wentz so far this season? We have just under 1,800 votes. 70% say B.
Going with the solid B.
Yes, and we do have a second place now.
Oh, we have a second place. No longer a tie for second.
No,
what do we got?
We have 15% saying A. They would grade him an A.
Oh, they started erring on the side of optimism. Mm-hmm. Man, go figure. Yeah. And then I assume C is the...
Yes, C has 14%, and then D now down to 1%.
All right, thank God. All right, I don't have to deal with those people. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll examine a little bit further the Sixers game last night. Also get into the Jordan Matthews conversation. What are the realistic expectations for him coming back? And also talk about why people might be grading Carson Wentz the way they're grading him. 610-632-0975. Time to the Fanatic is 8:12.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
By the way, aside from it just being the bye week, there is a list that came out by NBC Sports, the national scale, if you will, by Chris Sims, who ranks the quarterbacks and all that. And his latest list had Carson Wentz as the 11th best quarterback in the NFL. Behind Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, Kirk Cousins, Jacoby Brissett, and Dak Prescott. And then right after Carson Wentz was Drew Brees, who's played like a couple of games this year. So I don't know how he's even that close to Carson, but whatever. Especially now that he's a rag-on quarterback, but whatever. So you have him at a number.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. I said it. I'm acknowledging what Drew Brees is now. Rag arm.
Okay.
Not afraid of the Saints in the least bit, please. Don't waste my time. How about that?
You're not afraid if you're who? The Eagles?
Yes.
Okay.
Go down there in New Orleans, smack them. How about that?
48-7 last year.
Yeah, totally with you, Mark.
Beat them in the playoffs.
You can't see on Twitch. I just kind of eye rolled.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, no, that place terrifies me in the playoffs.
I wish I was like kidding, but I honestly don't fear Drew Brees anymore.
Wow. Hey, it's not Drew. That's just
a really good
team.
It's a good defense. It's
Michael
very
Thomas
versatile.
Is.
Very versatile.
If your quarterback's managing a game and going for 2-3 touchdowns and 320 yards, I think I'll take that.
Yeah, it looks nice on paper.
That might be the best team in the NFC right now.
Because of Teddy Bridgewater. Tell you that much. That's that young right, gunslinger.
Now you're just being silly.
Now
Mark.
I'm being silly.
Yes.
But everything else I mean.
Now you're drunk.
Everything else I mean. Everything else I mean. Hey, that's the reason why my cup is black, folks.
That's right.
Can't see through it. But here's the deal. When it comes to Carson Wentz being ranked at number 11, I get that he's top 10. All right, he hasn't really been in the top 10 all season when it comes to these rankings. But when you see Jacoby Brissett and you see Dak Prescott ahead of him, it kind of rubs you the wrong way.
Jacoby Brissett's playing really
but
good football.
But they've been playing well, exactly.
I honestly have no problem with Chris Sims' list at all. I think it's right on.
It makes you go, with Jacoby Brissett? Okay, yeah, I guess.
In actuality, Carson would probably be 12th because if Drew Brees had played, he just returned last weekend.
Uh-huh.
If he had played the six previous weeks, he's ahead of Carson Wentz most likely.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's probably 12.
Top six.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, extremely fair. I think he's somewhere in that 10 to 12 range this year.
I will say that I believe that Chris Sims did a nice job with this list. But it does open the opportunity, and with the bye week combined, of to kind of evaluate where we are right now. And yesterday we talked about the most valuable player for the Eagles, the best, but the most impressive player for the Eagles so far this year, and then the person that is disappointing you the most so far this season. And now we'll look just the quarterback, because it's such a hot-button issue. It's the most important position in all of Philadelphia sports is who's the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. And most people right now have him at a B. The only problem is he's not being paid like a B. He's being paid like an A. And we've talked about it all week. $107.9 million at the time, most guaranteed money in the NFL. And you don't see the numbers supporting that. He's at best a middle-of-the-road quarterback if you just go by the numbers. And then you try to break it down further, and you try to understand what he's throwing to, how much of this is his fault, how much is his receiver's fault. And when you see plays like on Sunday where the ball is in the hip pocket of Alshon Jeffery on three different third-down plays, and it's just drop, 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 well, how much can you really blame the quarterback on that play? On those particular plays.
And one of those third down throws, I didn't know until yesterday, looking over Twitter and somebody had broke it down. He got smacked when he stepped into a throw to Alshon Jeffery on third down, the one that he dropped that was right in his... it was about a 15-yard throw, whatever it was. I mean, Carson Wentz got smeared as soon as he let go of the ball, making that pass that much better.
So what grade do you give Carson Wentz? We've gone around the horn here. I said a B. Trey, you were an A. Bob, you were an A. Mm-hmm. And Jamie, you said you were a B.
Yeah.
I think, did Sam go A? She went A, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're not... No
minuses.
B plus, A minus.
And then she's arrow the side of the A, yeah. I believe. Yeah. Now, I'm going... I mean, it's a B for Carson. Because you have seen instances where he's held on to the ball too long. You have seen instances where he hasn't checked out of a play when maybe he should have, where he didn't recognize a blitz before the snap. He has had those types of issues, and he has had some overthrows. And one, most notably, was against the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night, where he just overthrew Alshon Jeffery in the end zone on a play where you know your guy's just going to go up and get it. You got to trust him to make the play. And his best game so far this year haven't been games where he's thrown for 300 yards, even 200 yards. He has managed good games and put the ball in the hands of Jordan Howard, put the ball in the hands of Miles Sanders, and they've made plays for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's been good. Those have been his best games. Even against Washington, obviously he had DeSean Jackson. They're not going to have him the rest of the year, as we know now. We'll see how much of a step forward this offense can take as a whole. Scoring still, which is wild, 25 points per game, which is not terrible by any means. Pretty good. Yeah. It just doesn't feel like it's that kind of offense this year because it's not at all a quick strike offense.
No. Oh, my God, no. This is ground and pound at its finest.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Let's get to Vinny in Philly. What's going on, Vinny?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Good morning.
Hey, Brett Brown say we going to do, what do you get, ground and pound offense? That's what you use the words? Bully ball.
Smash mouth defense, bully ball offense.
Have y'all been seeing any of that? None of our players have no post-up moves out. What I've seen, like, none of them can post up. Besides Alvin Harford, he's probably our best post-up guy ever moved.
Yeah, I don't even see him really post up all that much, to be honest with you.
Exactly. Like, they shot like about 30 jump shots in the third quarter. Announcer kept saying, I turned it out because it was reckless. Like, you don't go down in the post or nothing. And B, you can't even, only thing you can do is run to a rumble, put your shoulder in, and then turn the ball over.
And I know it's still early. Let's see what happens. But I don't see no fully offense. I just don't see it.
That's a good point, Vinny. And I said it to you guys a couple of days ago. When we had Brett on, it was the day after they jacked up 43 pointers. Right. And I said to Brett, what's that all about? He said, yeah, I don't like that number. Well, all right. You don't like it. Get rid of it.
Right.
And Vinny makes a great point. Are we seeing a lot of bully ball on offense?
Not enough.
Not enough. And Al Horford, is a fine post-up player. They're not a good entry passing team into post-ups. I see it more and more and more. And I think it's because it's the way kids are brought up now, too. There's not a lot of post-games, so getting the ball into the post. Because you guys know, when we were brought, if a guy's holding off a defender posting up, it might be another pass to the wing, and then he really holds off, and that's wide open, that pass. That doesn't happen anymore. The passes are lazy. They're not good. They're not on target. Al Horford does a fine job of holding guys off, but the pass isn't exactly where it should be an awful lot of times.
I don't know why, when you have two guys like Horford and Embiid, why you don't try to do that more often. It has worked when they have done it. I mean, it worked against the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw Joel Embiid really wanted to make a point because he had that extra added motivation.
Yeah.
Like we talked about it all earlier when it came to Donovan Mitchell versus Ben Simmons. You want to see Ben Simmons have a little bit more motivation when he goes up against a guy that he should have a little bit of a rivalry with there, considering the Rookie of the Year campaign from 2 years ago. When it comes to JoJo, he gets that motivation from playing up against another good center. Rudy Gobert is that other good center. And Joel Embiid, look, he got his last night. What, 26 points, 27 points?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Especially against a guy like Rudy Gobert, is a hell of a defensive center. But as the game went on, he just got worn out.
Well, 16 of the points came from the line. And that's probably a hat tip to Rudy Gobert there. But, you know, Bob in the 5 o'clock hour was like, I don't mind that much that he gets that many points from the line.
Uh-huh.
It kind of bothers me. Like, I understand that going to the line is an asset and he's a great free throw shooter.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just want to see him take over a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know he can do it.
Yeah.
He can definitely do it.
It's not a negative. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to go to the line.
To me, that is taking over. To me, it says the defense has no other answer for you but to foul you.
And you're also getting them in foul trouble, i.e. last night, Rudy Gobert fouling out of the game.
I hear you.
Which he should have done about a minute earlier than he did.
But, like, he did that one, like, step back fadeaway on Gobert and was like nothing. Like, you know, sometimes I want to see a little bit more of that, you know? Like,
see, I'd rather get the N1.
I hear you. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but like a game like last night, I just want to see a little more, I hate to say finesse from him, but a little more finesse.
Because we've all seen games when he wants to take over a game.
Yeah.
And you're quite impressed. I mean, there's no denying that he's extremely athletic, a very gifted big man. I mean, has good handles, can shoot, can move.
He's one of the team's best shooters.
I can deal without him shooting as many threes. But, you know, I think that you still want to see him be a because you can dominate the game when he wants to just take over a game. He can do it.
Yeah.
And a little less finesse and just get down there and go play bully ball. You can do it.
Here's why I say oof, Jamie, because I think the greatest mismatch that the Sixers can have is Joel Embiid against 90% of the other centers in the league. Like, I know Ben Simmons creates that mismatch as a big point, but he can be taken out of games, as we noticed.
The Gobert game might be its own outlier,
which
is fair.
But here's what I hate. I hate playing for the line.
I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at. Yes. Sometimes I think he looks for the contact. Like, I feel like I'm talking bad about Joel Embiid, and that's not what I'm trying to do.
Why do you hate Joel Embiid and Carson Wentz?
That's not what I'm trying to do. Yeah. But I think it goes to his conditioning. I think when he gets tired, he looks for the foul more than he looks to dominate.
Okay, so that I'll agree with, and he shouldn't be getting as tired as he has been throughout, you know, his career. Right, and when we talked to Brett Brown a couple of weeks ago, he had talked about how Joel Embiid came into this season the best shape he's ever been in to start the year.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden he gets a 2-game suspension. He's missed 3 games already in 7 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he looks that tired?
Yeah, like sometimes you see it, like because I think is the best when he gets the ball in the mid-range, like 10 to 12 feet, and is able to create that way.
Uh-huh.
You see it when he tries like a Euro step. Like sometimes when he's exhausted, he'll look for the foul rather than look for the bucket. Like you'll see him kind of initiate the contact himself. Like it's a weird thing I notice with him. When he gets tired, he looks for fouls and he shoots outside threes more.
But like last night, for instance, if you're getting the opposing center who's Rudy Gobert,
and then
in
keep
foul
feeding
trouble,
him until you get him out of the game.
Yeah, but then here's the catch: he's exhausted. And you have the effort from him in the fourth quarter that you saw last night. And he was put into the fourth quarter at 7:35, because I remember, Bob, you're probably doing the same thing. You're like, where the hell's JoJo?
Yeah.
And like, he's in foul trouble. You realize that. He comes in at 7:35, and it's like, he just got a long break, right? Like, he should be good to go.
Yeah, he went 35 last night. That's probably a season high. And it might be the most that Brett will ever look to play him during a game during the season. So
it's got
to
be the season high, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, doing it there, doing it after a two-game suspension up in Utah, you know, it's the reasoning is there for him to be tired, but you still don't like it.
Yeah, the next closest was 33, played against Atlanta.
Okay.
But besides that, it's been low this year. It's been 20 minutes and 23 minutes in the two other games.
And you need every minute from him in Atlanta.
Yeah, so that is, 36 is really high for him.
And Mark, I like your thinking. You want to see Embiid and Horford more together. And there may never be a time, there won't be a time in Brett Brown's coaching career that he's going to get two guys as similar to David Robinson and Tim Duncan as he has right now in Joel Embiid and Al Horford. I talked to him about that before the season began. I looked at a lot of film of the two of them together. I'm anxious to see them play a little more two-man ball inside, just as you were talking about earlier.
All right, so when are they back in action? Tomorrow night?
Yeah, tomorrow night in Denver.
In Denver.
And then Sunday back home.
So another high altitude game.
Yeah. Yes. So look for Embiid to probably get winded in the fourth quarter again.
And I know how, because I trained in Denver when I came out of college to get ready for the draft. And
it's a real deal.
Yeah, it's a real deal.
Yeah, I went on a hike out there and I was like, Ed, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. I was just out of shape. It had nothing to do with it.
Well, it was out of shape and the altitude. It was a bad combination.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the altitude.
Yeah, right.
No,
yeah.
But it's real. You feel it.
Oh, well, yeah, no question.
Even just going up like flights of stairs and stuff, you're like, oh, man, did I get fatter or something? You're like, no, it's just the altitude.
So it's, yeah, it's
yes, nothing to do with and my, it's the altitude.
Nothing to do with my all fast food diet at the time. It's the altitude.
And the six IPAs last night.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm good.
Damn they altitude. Do have a plethora of fine IPAs out there.
Mm.
Let's get to Wayne in Orlando. Let's talk some football. Wayne, what's on your mind, brother?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man.
Long time listener, first time caller. Appreciate you taking my call.
Welcome aboard, brother.
Thank you. As far as grading Carson, I would give him an A-. I mean, yes, he's had his fair share of hiccups, you know, sometimes misreading the line of scrimmage whenever he's trying to call an audible. But quite frankly, he's thrown to a bunch of guys who can't even catch a cold. I mean, it's pretty bad when your best deep ball threat is your running back, Miles Sanders. So I don't really, I'll give Carson a pass on that to a certain extent. And I'd rather give the general management a C for not. Hello?
Yeah, yes, we're here, buddy.
Okay, all right. All right, you got
yeah, we're just listening. We don't want to jump on you.
And I give the general manager a C for to me, Howie Roseman is starting to act like Joe Banner, in which that's not good. We don't need that. We need a GM with some onions.
Okay. Well, hold on a second. Wait. Whoa. Here's where we will jump on you. So we would actually like a little bit more of Joe Banner and Howie Roseman, considering how old this team is now.
Well, let me kind of expound on that a little.
All right.
I think that, you know, with all the guys that we drafted, along with the guys that we signed, is kind of like, you know, Band-Aids, you know, like we go ahead and get these guys, you know, Band-Aid here, Band-Aid there, instead of going for a guy that you know is going to be an impact player. I mean, I'm not saying go get a nutcase like Antonio Brown, but when you had the opportunity to get a Jalen Ramsey, when you had the opportunity to get a Jadeveon Clowney, even going back in the draft when you had the opportunity to get Dalvin Cook, he didn't get him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's frustrating because, I mean, you can only squeeze so much lemonade out of lemons.
Right. I hear you, Wayne. Thanks for the call, man. And that's why we brought up the examples of the wide receivers that the Eagles have drafted. You haven't drafted a 1,000-yard wide receiver since 2009 with Jeremy Maclin. And then after that, the wide receivers that you can brag about within the organization that you've drafted are Jordan Matthews, not a 1,000-yard wide receiver, Riley Cooper, and that's it. That's all. Oh, Nelson Agholor. Like, those are your three marquee names. Like, when you're talking about your all-stars that you have drafted at the wide receiver position, just the Eagles themselves, the all-pro Eagle wide receiver draft classes of the last 10 years, it's Jeremy Maclin, all right, Riley Cooper, Nelson Agholor, and Jordan Matthews.
Mm.
And then it's Josh Huff, Marvin McNutt, and a bunch of other, Sheldon Gibson. Like, that's not helping out your quarterback.
Not even
a matter whether it's Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, Kevin Cobb, Nick Foles, or even Carson Wentz. Like, that's not helping out your quarterback. Mm-hmm. And the guys that you did have that were pretty damn good, like Macklin, gone. And then obviously DeSean Jackson missed key parts of his career in Philadelphia because Chip Kelly decided he didn't like his attitude. Like, it's ridiculous. Spin it back to the Sixers. Let's get to our man Warren at Cherry Hill. What's up, Warren?
Morning, Gall.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Warren.
Listen, I've done this for a few years with this team, and after hearing you guys the other day, I believe everybody's not, I don't want to use the word catching on. I know this is a team that's only got two losses, but they could have very easily lost to Atlanta. They could have very lost, you know, the Portland game if you're going to rely on Korkmaz. My bigger problem here is the easiest way to say it, we do not have a three-point shooting team. And I don't care which way the NBA goes. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be the one different and make everyone scheme for me. To watch this team hurling up threes, to watch Brett Brown encourage this, is absolutely mind-boggling. You have nothing but big men. If you want to convince me that, listen, Ben Simmons is Ben Simmons. We all know he still will not take a jump shot. But when you have Ben Simmons as your point guard, a championship team needs a better shooting guard than Richardson. But if they're not going to do that, the only way this team wins, and I'm not talking now, they'll get 50-54 wins. I'm trying to make a point saying I know they'll still be a good team. But this is a half-court team. There is no question about it. When you watch Embiid run out of gas constantly, it's because of the up and down the court. He's not a gazelle. This is a tree of a man. He's not the guy, I don't say lumbering. He's not like one of those big, and he's athletic. But to watch them take him out of the game and watch a team hurling up threes with 20 seconds on the clock is absolutely numbing. All I got to ask is, if he ever, anytime Horford's in the game, should Embiid be the one at the top, or should it be Horford? I'm just asking questions that are so obvious. Bob, you did this the other day. There is no pick and roll. They can't defend the pick and roll. And I keep hearing about this defense, and I'm missing a lot of it. Please enlighten me and make me understand how Brett Brown can coach this team.
Yeah, I agree with you, Warren, in the fact that you shouldn't be hoisting threes. And you have to, I said this the other day, and I wrote it, you know, you have to embrace that you're an inside the 3-point line offense. And once you can do that, once you get your interior passing better, once Joel Embiid can find an Al Horford and vice versa, and Ben Simmons is hitting those guys down low in the proper ways to hit them, yeah, then things will start to click offensively. Then your outside game opens up, and then instead of contested threes, you're taking wide open threes, which are better for this team because they're not made to take contested threes.
Sixers are 10th right now in terms of fewest points allowed per game.
They need to be top three.
Yeah, at the worst. I agree with you. They should be a lot better. Now, granted, Joel Embiid has only missed three games already, but still, even a game like last night, you got to have him impose his will a little bit, especially when Al Horford's on the court with him. If I'm answering Warren's question, I want a guy like Al Horford closer to the basket than I want Joel Embiid closer to the basket, because JoJo, he likes to use his footwork to get closer to the basket, maybe draw that foul. That's the route I would take just schematically with this team if I'm drawing it up. Al Horford can float outside. He can hit those outside shots too, but Joel Embiid likes to get that little head of steam, that momentum where he can draw that foul and maybe get the N1. So to answer the question, when it comes to more of a power forward position, I like Al Horford more in that role than Joel Embiid. 610-632-0975. Coming up, 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to Mark Jackson about last night's game and what's the latest on a guy like Ben Simmons. How much time can he miss with a minor strain, of his shoulder, the AC joint in his shoulder. 610-632-0975. We got Scott and Barrington open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Time to the Fanatic, 842.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I'm proud of our audience today. I really am. Because for, like, what, 70% of people saying that they'd give Carson Wentz a B, I feel like that's the right grade to give Carson Wentz.
They're because smart.
You look around and you go, all right, a great quarterback's supposed to elevate guys' play. I don't know how he's supposed to do that when guys aren't willing to make the play, like Nelson Agholor doesn't seem at all willing to make the play. Alshon Jeffery's playing on one leg, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Matt Collins can't even get a look from the quarterback. All right, throw it to him anyway? I don't know. Do something to build their confidence. But then you also think about, you know, holding onto the ball a little too long. Two times he was sacked. Two of the times he was sacked against the Bears on Sunday. What, over 3 seconds he was holding the ball? You want to see a little bit of a better performance like that from your quarterback. You want to see a little bit more of the clutch throw, so to speak. Now, he did that 4-for-4 on third down against the Bears at the end of the game. We've talked about it at length. But when you have Alshon Jeffery open in the end zone against the Cowboys, and you don't throw him open and you overthrow him, you don't like seeing that. You have Miles Sanders, two different throws against the Detroit Lions, a game they lost, obviously a close one. He puts the ball in stride. Those are touchdowns. He's gone. So those are things that people will nitpick over with Carson Wentz. But really, when you look at this receiving core and leading the league in drops, I think most people say, all right, well, that's why you can't call him elite, at least not yet at this point in his career, despite the fact that he's already making elite money. I think it's good analysis by our voting audience today.
Yeah, very good. I think it's rock solid. Trey and I are up at an A. Like, I'm at the low end of an A, but I go A.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, since we can't do plus minus.
I know.
Yeah,
Mark,
take a stand.
Mark sets these rules, and we have to follow
them.
Take
a stand.
We did. A. Yeah. Live with it.
I hear you. 610-632-0975. Coming up, Mark Jackson will join us at the top of the hour. Let's get to our friend Scott in Barrington. What's up, Scotty?
Brother Mark, what's good with you?
Hey, buddy.
Morning, crew. What's happening back there, fellas?
All right, buddy.
Good, good. Two quick things. Do a little Sixers. I have to apologize to Miss Sam. I told her the Sixers, but with the Eagles, definitely a B with Carson. Again, look what he's working with. You know, all that stuff that's going on. But
sure,
definitely a B. But with the Sixers, two quick things, brother Trey. I'm gonna pick your mind, brother Mark. Don't hang up on me because I'm gonna get my bodyguard after you.
Oh no! All right.
Nah, but with the Eagles, I'm sorry, with the Sixers, you may laugh, I know they're veterans, but the least help out with the outside shooting. How about a Joe Johnson or maybe Jamal Crawford? Jamal Crawford's still out there, isn't he?
Jamal Crawford still is out there. His name gets floated out now, it seems, almost every year. I believe he's 37 years old, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Yeah, old.
Wow. But do you think it was still... How old's Joe Johnson?
I think he's 34.
Okay.
No, oh, jeez, I'm sorry. Jamal Crawford's 39. God, I was giving him a couple years.
Okay. all right. Maybe Joe Johnson. I know he's been out of the league, but they definitely... So another thing that frustrates me with the Sixers is what you guys touched up on.
And Joe Johnson's 38.
38, okay.
And he got signed by somebody, I think, didn't he? Or did he get... Was he a last cut, Joe Johnson?
I think he was the last cut.
Okay.
And another thing that frustrates me, what you were saying, you got... I may have been the Atlanta Hawks, another good team. We had one of their guys in foul trouble. You just don't go at them. It's fundamental basketball, like you say, fundamental baseball. It's basic stuff. And that game last night just killed me. They've been doing it for years. Stevie Wonder gets the pick and roll without Stockton and Malone. So I just don't understand. And last but not least, brother Trey, take your mind. Look, you got Lister Tiansa. Peace. God bless. Love you guys. Of course, downtime. How are you planning to try and beat the Patriots with what we're working with? If you're Trey Thomas, that's the answer. Once again, guys, peace. God bless to you.
Thanks, brother.
I'm watching exactly what the Cleveland Browns did to them for a little bit, where they're the ones that kind of exposed that you could run the ball on them. And then also go back and look at what Baltimore did on them and just kind of implement some of that same game plan. You know that your secondary is going to be tested, so you're going to have to... You know,
hold the ball.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have to try to slow Brady's release down. So I think that what you're gonna have to do is get that secondary to get up in there and challenge some of these receivers, get in their face. But you're gonna have to get your defensive line time to get there. I think that having Avery in there allows them to mix up some of those different rush patterns that they've been coming with. Last week you saw them do a couple different little games that worked out pretty well for them, where you had BG Barnett and Avery on the same side. And then you would see BG and Barnett kind of rush upfield, and then Avery come around the middle, and then he gets pressure right up the middle. You saw the same thing on the other side where Barnett had the one where he jumped right over the quarterback's back. But, you know, those are little different wrinkles. I think Sweat ended up getting a sack on that one. But those are little different wrinkles that you saw them add to the game where it's a three-man game. Your offense, especially when you have New England, who their offensive line has kind of been struggling a little bit because you had a couple injuries. But, you know, three-man games are kind of hard to deal with, especially on the road.
Well, what about what the Bills did to them? I mean, the Bills held the Patriots to 16 points, and they even picked off Tom Brady, held him to 150 yards. I remember when we went over this before the Bills played the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what they were doing defensively.
Yeah, go back and see the Bills, too. Yeah, I was just going off the past
two games. Sure. Yeah. But, yeah, obviously looking pedestrian, especially against a team like the Ravens. John Harbaugh did a wonderful job in that game, obviously coaching up his team and coaching up his own quarterback as he's done throughout the season. But did I see this right? Were the Patriots practicing yesterday?
Oh, really?
Were they holding a private little workout or something?
I'm not surprised by that. They lost.
No, I know they lost. But
you're coming off of a loss? So you think you're going to get the entire week off?
Yeah.
No.
What are the Eagles doing?
Oh, they won.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get a little victory.
They're 5-4. They're fighting for their playoff lives.
But you won going into the bye week.
To hell with that.
Hey, listen. Why are you giving me all this aggression? I'm not the one to make the rules.
Tough it up, Trey. You want to laugh at Ben Simmons?
What's all this air in your chest on me? I mean, I had nothing to do with that.
What happened to your calendar?
Well, I took it down.
Why'd you say down the calendar?
Did you get reprimanded?
The Twitch audience was enjoying the calendar.
They really couldn't see it.
It wasn't in the shot?
Yeah.
Thought it was in the shot.
Yeah, I don't know.
Take the shot.
My wife corrected me on my spelling or something. Yeah. I'm like, don't worry about that. You understood what I was talking about.
My wife does that all the time.
What do you mean?
You actually meant to use T-O-O there, not T-O. Yeah. And I'm like, how dare you in a text?
I mean, you understood what I was trying to say.
Yeah,
I mean,
how dare you?
You didn't give it the asterisk, the follow-up asterisk? Oh, well, sorry. Like, I was texting Mark Jackson, who's going to come along with us in a minute. I was just texting him about, hey, you good? You know, just want to make sure you're good to go. And I said, to calm in, not call in. So I had to, you know. Anyway, I'm an idiot. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. But it is an interesting thing, though, when you think about the Patriots going out there and putting some extra work in. I know they lost, but the Eagles are in a situation where they're fighting for the playoff lives. Patriots have only lost one game. Yeah. And they want to get everybody together again.
Well, that's the difference in organizations, too. Now, look at the difference in the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the difference in the mindset right there. When you see like a team, even if they don't have the coaching staff in there, the team feeling like, you know what? Hey, we got to correct some things.
Damn right.
So we're going to have our own practice so that we can get this thing together.
Mm-hmm. They need to make that happen as soon as humanly possible. 610-632-975,
The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.